This is the Liberty NZ Breakfast. Welcome to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. It's 6:05, and that is Cheap Trick. And don't be cruel, we'll have a weather forecast right after the dude looks like a lady. The unmistakable voice of Steven Tyler and Aerosmith, the dude looks like a lady. It is 6:05 with Grant Edwards, and this is the Liberty NZ Breakfast. A little change here and there over the weekend, and we thought we'd just call it the Liberty NZ Breakfast instead of the wireless, because the wireless is an FM station, and we're not going out really on the wireless at the moment. Anyway, we're waiting for the engineers to do some work on that, but we're working on it. Let's have a look now and see what the extremes are for the country at the moment. Big cold blast over the country and some huge winds. Kaitaia 13 degrees today, that's the highest. Twyzor is -3.6 degrees, and the wind at Nugent Point is 65 kilometres per hour. And Gore, you're quite wet today with 1.6. The main temperatures: Stewart Island 7 degrees, Invercargill 7, Dunedin 7, Timaru 2, Chatham Islands no reading from you, and the middle of the north, middle of the mainland is 2 degrees at Queenstown, Franz Josef also at 2 degrees, Westport 7 degrees, Nelson 3 and Blenheim -1, Wellington 7 degrees, Masterton -1, Napier 6 degrees along with Taupo and Rotorua, Palmerston North 5, New Plymouth 9 degrees, Gisborne 2 degrees, Tauranga 9, Hamilton 10, Auckland 11, Whangarei you are at 12 degrees, and Kaitaia 13. Did I say Whangarei? I'm awfully sorry. Whangarei. My apologies to all those wonderful pronunciators who are listening at the moment. 6:10, let's look at the short forecast. For Northland to Kapiti, also for the Coromandel Peninsula and the central high country, showers more frequent in the west with heavy falls and thunderstorms possible there. Gale force southwesterlies, snow may be affecting the desert road, and I think it is definitely affecting the desert road. When was this done? 5:00. I'm fairly sure that there's snow on the desert road right now as we speak. For the Bay of Plenty, Gisborne and the Wairarapa, also for Wellington, fine spells, long fine spells today with a few showers. For Nelson, Marlborough, Canterbury, mainly fine with a few showers this morning and afternoon. Gale force southwesterlies in exposed places. For Buller and Westland, showers north of Hokitika with snow down to about 800 metres but easing up to about a bit later on this afternoon. Fine in the south. For Otago, Southland, Fiordland, frequent showers, some heavy, possibly down to 600 metres at first and then lifting to 1,000 metres later in the day. Gale force southwesterlies for you. For the Chatham Islands, showers, possibly heavy and thundery with gale force southwesterlies.
I'm talking about Ashley Bloomfield. Now you may be wondering, where has he been since then? Well, he's been working as a co-chair of the International Health Regulations Update at the World Health Organization. And what are they trying to do? Implement worldwide vaccine passports. Take away your sovereignty and your democracy. Apparently, Ashley Bloomfield thinks you may not need it. But it's not just about vaccine passports. They're also pursuing amendments to the international health regulations as a whole, which are considered a binding instrument of international law. And if they're adopted in May, you may not be able to protest it. All non-binding phrases have been deleted, gene-based therapies have been included, and public health risks have been deleted and replaced with all risks with the potential to impact public health.
And that's Chantelle Baker from Operation People, and you can find them at operationpeople.com. It's, what are we up to now? Oh, 6:07. I hope I didn't say 8 before. No, we don't want you. What are you doing there? We want Mickey. Where's Mickey? Just a moment. Here's Mickey. This is a great movie called The Great Awakening. I hope you've all seen it. If you haven't, make sure you do.
I left China because my parents were heavily persecuted for their practice of Falun Gong. From age 1 to age 5, my grandparents were taking care of me because my parents, they were always inside some dark cells being tortured. My first clear memory of my mother, I was brought to a brainwashing center and saw her being tied up to a chair with like people behind her, guarding her. And she had a very thick plastic tube inserted into her nose, and she was being force-fed at the time. She just looked like she was in so much pain, and I was five at the time. That was It's just very traumatizing. My school principal actually came to me several times and told me not to be a part of my parents and to report any activity that my parents would do. They're instilling all the lies and hatred into the younger generation.
The young people are used today to do the American Cultural Revolution, to turn the kids basically not to trust their parents anymore. And say, oh, my parents don't understand me, I'm confused, I need to turn to my teachers, turn to other authority figures. Look at the Mao's Cultural Revolution to say, how many similarities are there?
Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau claims to be following the science, but Trudeau's science often comes in the form of this bizarre authoritarian technocracy.
I think that Justin Trudeau stepped on the landmine when he weaponized the banking system in Canada against the truckers. Those peaceful trucker protests, you know, their most violent act was honking their horns. And in retaliation, they had their access to their bank accounts, and anybody that supported them in any way had their access to bank accounts eliminated. And at that moment in time, we all came to realize what was really going down.
That's Dr. Robert Malone, that's his voice, and that's from the documentary film The Great Awakening, and that's written and directed by Mickey Willis. That's Morgan Wallen, and you're on the Liberty NZ Breakfast. It's 18 past 6 with Grant Edwards. The Liberty NZ Breakfast, Brian Ferry. Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. It's 25 minutes past 6. The main story at the moment, it would have to be the wind that we're experiencing, I would think. Main story for New Zealand anyway. Waka Kotahi, that's the New Zealand Transport. They say that an amber alert is in place today from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. with wind gusts of 75 to 80 kilometres per hour forecast. Under an amber alert, speeds are reduced and some lanes will be closed on the Auckland Harbour Bridge. A red alert is in place from midday to 9 p.m. with wind gusts expected to be 90 to 100 kilometres and possibly gusts of up to 110 kilometres an hour. Under a red alert, all lanes on the bridge are closed, and that's what it is accordingly. The bridge will remain in 4x4 lane formation throughout the day, and the transport agency warns it will reduce speeds. And lane closures are expected as well, if necessary. Motorists are urged to drive to the conditions. Yep, we know that. So there we are. That is the Harbour Bridge, and that's News Hub story there. Also, poorer and more divided, ACT blast Greens renters policy. They say it's damaging. It sure is, because we're going to end up having a lot less people in housing. And let's have a quick look at that story. It's 27 minutes past 6. And it says here, ACT Party calls for the Greens' pledge to improve renter rights if elected to government as damaging and, of course, predictable. I'll just get rid of that little thing there that's right across the front of the screen. In a press release on Sunday, ACT's housing spokeswoman, I would call her, Rook van Velden, warned it would make rental issues worse and shows how Labour Greens Te Piti Party Māori government would leave New Zealand poorer and more divided. On Sunday, the Green Party released its pledge for renters, their policy, promising that it's in the first 100 days of the new government, it would reduce a renter's rights bill to ensure rent is affordable and homes are warm and dry and healthy. Rent controls would put a limit on how much landlords can increase the rent each year. Homes would need to have a rental warrant of fitness, and there will be a national register for landlords and property managers to show who owns rental properties and how much rent is charged. The Greens would also provide the government-backed underwrite to help community providers build new rental homes and accelerate public building program. That'll be the smart cities. But Van Velden, she says that it will take rentals off the market without boosting supply, and it also continues that the Greens' damaging approach to singling out and othering groups, what does she call it, out and othering groups of people for political gain, she said in her press release. So, yeah, it's not good. Yeah, that's just crazy, man, just absolutely nutty. The Greens, if they ever got control, God help, Lord help us. And also there's a story here on News Hub about a cameraman. He says it's been crazy behind the scenes. The camera operator, he's put together a sort of a compilation of crime in Auckland, I think it is, mostly Auckland. We've got in celebrity here, they've got a couple of homosexuals who've got married. One of them's an All Black, big deal. And there's been a treasure hunt for 4,000 sapphires. And so people have been doing that in Mission Bay, having a dig around, trying to find something interesting. Mackenzie, happy to answer the All Blacks SOS amid outside back shortage. So there is a shortage. And there's a final in sports, the Hamilton Darts. That's the Masters. They decided as New Zealand's best battle in Christchurch. That's happening. Knights decimate the Bulldogs, of course, in rugby league, and that's the NRL at the weekend. And gold struck. There's a company that has found $2 billion. They believe they've got $2 million worth of gold. And that's, where is that now? That's down in Snowy River Mine. That's on the west coast. And that was where the old miners were, weren't they? That's around 850 metres deep in the ground near the Ikamatua on the west coast of the, that's where there's an abundance of quartz. It's a huge reef there, apparently full of it. And so it looks as though they believe that they're going to have about $2 billion worth of gold there. It's 6:30. I hope your morning's going all right. Let's have a listen to Bailey Zimmerman. And then when we come back, we'll look at other news. We'll look at stuff. And we'll also look at international news as well. It's the fifth night, I think, of riots in France. And I think they've even broken into the mayor's home and injured some of his family members as well. So it's all out of control. But that's what happens when you allow Muslims from North Africa to invade your country, mass immigration. This is what you get. You've got it out of control. I guarantee the French didn't ask for this 40 years ago when they started allowing immigrants from all over the world to come in. Immigrants that they don't want. Liberty NZ Breakfast, Bailey Zimmerman, The House on Fire. It's 27 minutes to 7. You're with Grant Edwards. Let's have a look at the page stuff.co.nz. Nuremberg 2, Strange Path to New Zealand. Nuremberg 2.0. And this is coming, but here's a hit piece by Charlie Mitchell. Conspiracy theorists, they like to call us, who have long fantasized of COVID trials for crimes against humanity, think they've found their court in New Zealand. So you can go and have a look at that hit piece for yourself. Also, retiree who helped identify Erebus victims denied a ticket refund by Air New Zealand. The man is wondering why he was initially refused his money back, despite his wife not being able to travel due to her health. And high wind watches for much of New Zealand's snow continues down south. High wind gusts could see Auckland's Harbour Bridge closed, with Met Service issuing a number of strong wind watches across the Motu. That's Motu. You woke idiots. Across the country. And the North Island is the first in line. Also, they have a look at a piece on young Aucklanders, and they have their say on living in the region. And there's a couple of other things here. That's right, the French rioters target mayor's home on the fifth night of clashes. So that's very good. His family was injured. That's not very good, I should say. And what else have we got? Oh, yes, also in Wellington, a pedestrian has died after being hit by a train near Wellington. Also in the US and Canada, two dead. Three are fighting for their life after a Baltimore mass shooting. Now, this won't be a gun control problem. I'll tell you what it is. It'll be a mental health issue. The guy will be on some psychiatric drugs. That'll be why he went and did that. That's what happens. You go to the doctor, say, oh, I'm not feeling very well. The doctor says, oh, we'll give you something for that. Don't worry about that. It'll help you sleep. Flip and tranquilize. The next thing, you're going half nuts and you're going to see a shrink. And then they put you on, I don't know, Prozac or whatever it is. And then that's why people go out and do this stupid stuff. It's all about mental health. It's a mental health issue. It's not a gun control issue. And you have to make that very clear. But, of course, the leftist communists are trying to make out that it is a gun control. And they want to stop people having guns at all. And that would be the worst thing. Worst thing that could ever happen. Fully armed is what everybody should be. In New Zealand as well, but we're not, of course. They've taken all the guns off us. And it's probably going to get even worse. It's getting very expensive now just to be a licensed owner. Of course, the people that have all the guns are the police and the gangs. They're the ones that are fully armed. And so that's what we've got to watch out for. And so that's the stories there on Stuff. And when we come back, we'll have a look at the international news. But here's Mickey Willis from The Great Awakening. It's 24 minutes to 7.
The question is, how do we turn the ship around?
I think that the path to political hell in America has been voting for the lesser of two evils. They create conflict because conflict creates fear and confusion, and out of that chaos, people are not too analytical. They'll just struggle for some quick answer, which is, who are you going to vote for? That's usually the answer that's offered to them. They think that if you just vote for somebody, the right person, everything will go away. You cannot wait until there's a list of candidates that's published and you say, which one am I going to choose? You know, by that time, the game is over. All those candidates have been selected before you were even aware. You've got to get into politics at the local level so you have some influence in which candidates are selected. And that starts at the grassroots level. You don't come in at the top, you come in at the bottom. If we do that job, we will influence both political parties just like our opponents do now.
There is actually a way forward and a way out, but it's going to require work, and it's also going to require that we acknowledge that we have wronged ourselves, that we are part of this problem. It's not the government that caused this. The government facilitated it. What caused it was our being asleep at the wheel. Without taking accountability, we cannot move forward.
The masses of humanity have been slapped awake in a very short period of time, to where now it has created a domino effect of awareness all across the planet. People cannot go back into the matrix now. They can't. A lot of people are trying to, and they can't.
We have the right as citizens in this country to abolish government and create a new one. And that is the authority that has been given to us. It is written in our documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Human Rights. We have indelible rights, and the basis of those rights are our freedoms. And if we don't have that, we don't have life. And so we have to awaken, we have to arise, we have to fight.
The natural rights of every individual is life, liberty, and property. And establishing a country on a premise that had never been established before, that the individual is sovereign because their rights are endowed to them by a sovereign God.
This which has happened can only be described as divine, which is why we're the nation. Our ideology, our way of life is always under this relentless attack that we have defeated over and over again, and we will defeat it this time.
We're all fighting with each other, and the way that we combat that is doing the opposite of what these war overlords want us to do, which is fight with each other. We should be learning how to forgive and inviting other people to the table, even if we disagree with them, and extending grace to one another, even if we know that they've done something that we totally disagree with, because that's how we ultimately are going to heal as a nation, is understanding that we all come from different walks of life, and we all live here together, and let's start talking.
The only real problem that's existed in the world is division. It's that people are not getting in rooms, willing to speak with one another, see each other's hearts, and get to know, hey, what do you believe? What do I believe? And is there a way we can actually work together to solve these problems? And I'm willing to bet that most of the Gen Zers would say yes. That's what we do right now, and that's why I'm glad we're the age that we are, because we can be leaders of that conversation.
That's from the documentary film by Mickey Willis, The Great Awakening, and you can see that. I think you just about, just Google it, I think you'll find it. It's 20 to 7. Yeah, people have been sending it to me. I think I've received about three of them over the last three links to that movie, and it's free, and he's put it out there free. It's wonderful. And what I've done is I've chopped it all up into 1 minute and 3 minute. I think up to the maximum is about 5 minute segments, just to give you an idea of what it's like. And I want you to go and watch it, because I tell you what, it's eye-opening. He features G. Edwin Griffin, who was speaking about the communist infiltration of bureaucracy in the West, and they've fully infiltrated our schools, our education department, all the bureaucracy, and of course both sides, because the right is cuddled up with the left, and the globalists, they don't care whether you're a fascist, whether you're a Nazi, or whether you're a communist, so long as you do what they tell them that you've just got to do what you're told. Anyway, let's have a look. There's always another little story here. A bodybuilder and influencer, Joe Justhetics Linda, he dies of an aneurysm. Her partner said that she posted this on the Instagram. She said that the YouTube star died in her arms of a sudden aneurysm. And apparently he was a little bit concerned about all this. He's actually a German bodybuilder, and he was worried about his training, the effect it was having on his heart. You've got to ask yourself, though, was he jabbed? Probably. If he was jabbed, people are dying instantly all the time. The fitter they are, the more likely they are to die from the jab. Brandy Carlile there with The Story. It's 14 minutes to 7. You're listening to The Breakfast. Yeah, what is it? The Liberty NZ Breakfast. That's a good name, isn't it? I've got Megan Maroney coming up with Tennessee Orange. Who else have I got? Jordan Davis, Lainey Wilson, and Clay Walker for you country buffs. And we've got a few other songs as well. And we've got that remake too by Luke Combs as well. Boy, what is going on? A group of teens who've spent more than 40 hours on the roof of an Auckland youth justice facility. Didn't they do that last week? Is this an old story rehashed, or is this another one? I think it's a new one. It just came out 15 minutes ago on, what is it on? On News Hub. And it says that a group of unruly teenagers spent more than 40 hours on the roof of the Auckland justice facility. They've ended their standoff. I bet it was cold up there, eh? Up on the roof. They should have just given them, asked, hey, bro, you want some Kentucky Fried Chicken, some KFC? That's what they did last week. That got them off the roof. But this seems like it's another one. So Oranga Tamariki, whatever that means, confirmed to News Hub that the rooftop standoff has come to a conclusion, and the teenagers came down late Sunday evening. I bet they were cold. Hey, we've got frostbite or something. The standoff involved five teenagers from Korowai Manaaki. That's the youth justice. From youth justice in Wiri. That's a residence in Wiri. It started about 1 o'clock on Saturday, and the group spent much of the weekend out in the cold and wet on the roof of the facility. And so there they are. Orangi Tamariki, Deputy Chief Executive Tush Penny, she told News Hub on Monday morning that the five young people who remained, that's Monday morning, that's today. Why don't they just put today? Anyway, there they were, five of them. They're now safe. Well, who cares if they're safe? Just get them off the roof. And why would it take 40 hours to get unruly kids off the roof? That's obviously, it's out of control, isn't it? You know, just nuts in this country, it really is. Just absolutely crazy. Let's have a look at international news. Have we got anything there? Or should we just go straight to the centrist? What about that? We know that there's, we heard about the Baltimore shooting over there. There's been two people killed and 28 people injured including four children in a mass shooting in Baltimore, Maryland. That happened yesterday, that'll be today actually, just not so long ago, according to police and hospital officials. So that's just happened. And thousands of hotel workers in Los Angeles, California went on strike today. This morning, as they pushed for better wages and benefits, kicking off what was expected to be one of the largest US hotel strikes in recent history. And a teenager in Paris, the grandmother of the teenager shot dead by the police during the traffic stop in Paris suburb, said on Sunday, that's today, that's European time, she wanted the nationwide rioting triggered by his killing to end after the fifth night. Well, good on you for coming out. And so Tesla beats off the quarter delivery estimates as well. Tesla Incorporated today said it delivered a record number of vehicles in the second quarter, topping market estimates as price cuts and US federal credits helped make its electric vehicles more affordable. So let's whip over and have a look at some real news. We're looking at thecentrist.co.nz. And a terrific newspaper. Here's one from the UK. Thames water is on the brink. They don't get their water from the Thames, but they call themselves the Thames water. It's on the brink of financial collapse. Three Waters is using the same highly leveraged financing structure, according to Thomas Cranmer. I keep pronouncing his name wrong. Sorry about that. The UK's biggest water supplier, Thames Water, it provides water to 15 million people, and it's on the brink of financial collapse. And the Thames Water owes £14 billion, and it's faced with the prospect of an incredibly expensive financial and operational restructure that will take years to complete. And they're diverting income from the customers' bills to meet the interest payments. Water ownership will likely be a major political debating point in the run-up to the next year's UK general election, says Cranmer. New Zealand's Three Waters reform programme is using the same highly leveraged financing structure as Thames Water. The takeaway is that Thames Water is a cautionary tale for New Zealanders. They have not delivered improved water quality or service for their customers. Instead, the UK government is now faced with the imminent collapse of its biggest water utility. Are we setting ourselves up for the same debt-ridden fate? I think we are. And you can read more about that over at Cranmer's Subtrack. And so Cranmer's Subtrack. I've got the link to that. I think. Let me have a look and see if I can give it to you. Yeah, it's just subtrack.com, and you just look up what's it under? Cranmer's Subtrack. That's the one for that. What else have we got from the centrist? Of course, manufacturing consent for fake news, Operation People. Yeah, this is a story about Chantelle Baker, Operation People, and quite a good story. I think they did an interview with Katrine Sebold, and she describes how they create fake news. She was a journalist, I think, for 18 years or more she had been in the mainstream media. And so in this interview that highlights instances where she and her colleagues were asked to deliberately spread fear and promote certain agendas. So that is a really good interview. I actually watched that. That's over at Operation People, and the centrists are highlighting that. Well done. Labour loyalist highlights Labour destructive impact. That's a new story by Pierce Hampham, and you can have a look at that. He's the founder of the software company Progyny. Another good story, and I'll just whip over here. And the GDP. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? It seems that certain politicians and media outlets conveniently choose to cherry-pick the positive total GDP headlines while conveniently neglecting to mention the GDP per capita figures. And so you hop in and have a look at thefacts.co.nz. No, sorry about that. Thefacts.nz. So easy just to have the .co.nz slip off the tongue, isn't it? But to see all these stories, go to the thecentrist.co.nz under Economy, Numbers and Experts. You can see that. Another headline, Who Should Have the Right to Vote? That's Marcus Roberts. Marcus examines the problem of determining who should have the right to vote in New Zealand. He discusses that all individuals affected by Parliament's laws who are part of the political community are, and are also competent, they should have the right to vote. So he applies this framework to specific issues, and he argues for maintaining the voting age at 18, which gives voter competency, doesn't it, and allows enrolling students and permanent residents that are abroad as well, they should be able to vote. And also he wants to give prisoners the right to vote, and I don't agree with that. I don't think they should. I think when they go to jail, they lose all their rights. They become like minors who don't have the right to vote, and I think that should be part of the punishment. But anyway, that's his opinion. He concludes that implementing these recommendations would establish more principled and consistent boundaries for democracy, ensuring meaningful inclusion and responsible self-government. You can see that at that read is Maxim Institute, but first go to the link at thecentrist.co.nz and have a look at all the other great stories as well. Also, our government is knowingly overcharging for methane emissions. Dr. Muriel Newman, she asks if the government has been overcharging us, and I think she has. Also, Radio New Zealand editorial Thomas Cranmer. There's another. Yeah, he's done a couple there. Let's have a look at that one. Independent journalist Thomas Cranmer writes about Radio New Zealand's review of the Reuters and the BBC story, where they edit. That was an edit scandal. And that was very interesting. Inside RNZ's slack editorial practices and management failure, these stories on the Ukraine-Russia war, also Israeli-Palestinian conflict, China and gender identity issues were altered with bias by Radio New Zealand staff. Very good story there that you can see at thecentrist.co.nz. It's 6 to 7, and we've got another little tune coming up for you here. This one's one my daughter sent me. It's called Tennessee Orange by Megan Maroney. Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards, 7:04, and that is Lainey Wilson and Things a Man Ought to Know. Go over to YouTube and have a look at her with, what's his name, Jelly Roll. I think he's named after the 1920s jazz singer. I think he was, or he might have, yeah, I think he did jazz, Jelly, Jelly Roll Morton. I think that's where the name came from. He's Jelly Roll. He's a big jelly, a jolly giant, that's for sure. He's monster tattooed face, but seems like a nice guy, and I love the music with him and Lainey Wilson as well on that song. I think it's called Save Me. Go and have a look at that. I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you do. Anyway, thing is with country music, it's a slippery slope. Once you start listening to it for a while, and the longer you listen to it, the more you like it. And it's the stories, isn't it? It's those stories in the songs that really get you going. Let's have a look at the weather, shall we, for the whole country. And first of all, the extremes. Kaitaia, you're at 12.8 degrees today, right now. Twizel, you're at minus 3.1. Nugent Point is windiest at 63 kilometres per hour blowing through Nugent Point. And Gore is the wettest, as with 2.8 millimetres of rain falling. The short forecast for Northland, or from Northland to Kapiti, and also for the Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. Showers with frequent in the west, with heavy falls and thunderstorms possible there. Gale westerly to southwesterly winds. Snow may affect the desert road. I'm pretty sure it will do. Bay of Plenty to Gisborne, and also for the Wairarapa and Wellington, long fine spells and a few showers. For Nelson, Marlborough, Canterbury, mainly fine, but a few showers in morning and afternoon. You've got gale westerlies or southwesterlies in exposed places. For Buller and Westland, showers north of Hokitika with snow down to about 800 metres, easing, and snow levels will be easing this afternoon. That's an interesting sentence, the way they wrote that. Fine in the south, though. For Otago, Southland, Fiordland, frequent showers, some heavy. Snow possible to 600 metres, but lifting to 1,000 metres later in the day. Gale force southwesterlies for you. And for the Chatham Islands, showers, possibly heavy and thundery, with gale force southwesterly winds as well. Looking ahead to Tuesday, North Island, isolated showers in the west, mostly fine elsewhere. For the South Island, showers in the south, a few showers in the west from north of Hokitika, but mainly fine elsewhere. Wednesday, for you, the North Island, isolated showers in the west, mainly fine elsewhere. In the South Island, showers in the south and west easing, but mostly fine elsewhere. And Thursday, generally fine, any remaining showers in the west and south clearing, isolated showers about eastern North Island for a time. Friday, mostly fine. That's the whole country. That's good. The whole country is great. So that this bad weather we're experiencing at the moment, it will pass. It too will pass. For Friday, mostly fine at first. Periods of rain or showers developing in the west and north. Areas of cloud increasing elsewhere. In the Chathams, occasional showers, heavy at times. Clearing Friday, gale force westerlies and southwesterly winds easing by Friday. And that is the latest weather forecast from Met Service. It's 7 minutes past seven. You're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with me, Grant Edwards, and here's Chantal Baker from Operation People.
I was lucky enough to get a meeting with Andrew Little and his bulldog, Willie Jackson.
So, Andrew Little, Health Minister.
This was the scariest thing that they said. Lots of people are suiciding, but it's politics. You've got to play the game. Mm. So,
God, that's disappointing.
My message to the Labour Party, Mr. Little and Mr. Jackson, is kids dying is not a game. You cannot play games with kids' lives. So,
right. It's all just politics. It's all just a game. If Andrew is not in his role to actually serve and protect New Zealanders and to serve and protect our lives, what is he there for? Well, he's just money-hungry politician wanting to make sure he gets a nice fat paycheck and influence some sort of agenda that has nothing to do with saving the lives of Kiwis. Is that what it is, Andrew?
I left China because my parents were heavily persecuted for their practice of Falun Gong. From age 1 to age 5, my grandparents were taking care of me because my parents, they were always inside some dark cells being tortured. My first clear memory of my mother, I was brought to a brainwashing center and saw her being tied up to a chair with like people behind her, guarding her. And she had a very thick plastic tube inserted into her nose, and she was being force-fed at the time. She just looked like she was in so much pain, and I was five at the time. That was, it's just very traumatizing. My school principal actually came to me several times and told me not to be a part of my parents and to report any activity that my parents would do. They're instilling all the lies and hatred into the younger generation.
The young people are used today to do the American Cultural Revolution, to turn the kids basically not to trust their parents anymore. And say, oh, my parents don't understand me, I'm confused, I need to turn to my teachers, turn to other authority figures. Look at the Mao's Cultural Revolution to say, how many similarities are there?
Liberty NZ Breakfast, that is from the documentary film The Great Awakening by Mickey Willis. Mickey is spelled M-I-K-K-I. Mickey Willis, he's the writer and director of that incredible documentary film. I recommend you go and have a look at it. It's all over the show at the moment. We've got Bailey Zimmerman coming up and Tennessee Whiskey with Chris Stapleton. But just looking at the News Hub front page again, that rooftop standoff with the Auckland Youth Justice Facility lasted 40 hours. And also very disturbing news for patients, waiting times for cardiac scans have skyrocketed up to 18 months. You've got to wait now for a cardiac scan. Liberty NZ Breakfast, Chris Stapleton with Tennessee Whiskey. It's 16 minutes past 7, you're with Grant Edwards, and let's whip back over to thecentrist.co.nz and have a look at a couple of stories here. I had them right there in front of me, but they move. They move on you. So I've just got to try and find it now. Here we are. Labour's poll puzzling pundits, according to Graham Adams. And I think Graham Adams is with the BFD. And we'll just have a quick look at that story. Now, journalist Graham Adams says it's a mystery how, despite widespread concerns about crime, education, homelessness, health, roads and race-based policy, including co-governance, Labour has seemingly stayed neck and neck with National in the polls. Adding to Labour's troubles is the fact that Hipkins lost three ministers in the first 5 months of his leadership. And what's also puzzling is that the polls don't correspond with the mounting anecdotal evidence that says people are fed up with Labour, nor do they correspond with the 8% fall in the public's rating of the government's performance in the 4 months after Hipkins became leader, the lowest rating since Labour came to power in 2017. But pollsters often get it wrong, according to Graham. The mayoral race battle between Wayne Brown and Fesco Collins last October was billed as a tight race, but Brown won by 45%, 45% more votes than Collins. What perhaps is telling is that in Australia, the largest online bookmaker will pay $1.45 for a national win in October, but $2.75 for a Labour win. So obviously the money's on National, isn't it? And the bookies, they know. They're like actuaries. They know what the story is. Adams also suggests that journalists are often seen as favouring the left. They do. Instead of just, that's exactly right. That's totally right. And he's with Breaking Views NZ, but you can see that story at thecentrist.co.nz under Labour, Mainstream Media, National, Numbers and Experts. That's the, that's that. And Are Our Kids' Innocence? Yeah, Our Kids. This is Alwyn Paul. Actually, Alwyn Paul, I think he's with the BFD. Did I get that wrong? I did. I'm awfully sorry. Yeah, Graham's not with the BFD. So it says here, the increasing number of antidepressants being prescribed to children and teens in New Zealand is concerning, says Alwyn Paul. He's with the BFD. This reflects a need for better mental health support. Society has amplified tragedy and victimhood, driven by politics and sensationalised by the media, leading to an overwhelming sense of hopelessness. It's crucial for adults in New Zealand to protect our children's innocence, allowing them to experience a proper childhood, shielding them from the burdens and problems of the adult world, including adult discussions, politics and ideological conflicts that children are not equipped to handle or make a difference in. And that's a good story. You'll see that at The Centrist, and you can also, it's got a link there, I think, to Orwin's opinion over at the BFD. The Centrist, of course, is thecentrist.co.nz. It's 19 minutes past 7. You're with Grant Edwards on the Liberty NZ Breakfast. I hope you're enjoying yourself, having a good breakfast today. Let's have a listen to Bailey Zimmerman right after this.
Nobody in Congress is asking to analyze the violence. Nobody in the mainstream media has ever asked what's in the vials. And the public doesn't want to know either, because the public's not asking what's in these vaccines. If people understood what was in the vaccine, they'd go apeshit.
Past 7 with the Liberty NZ breakfast, and we'll start you in just a moment, dear. Not quite ready for you yet, Tegan. Let's have a look at the centrist again. The centrist, of course, is thecentrist.co.nz. Labour loyalist highlights Labour's destructive impact. Pierce Harpham. Now, he is from Progyny, isn't he? New Zealand Pierce Harpham. He's a 91-year-old, and he's the founder of the software company Progyny. He supported the Labour Party for the past 16 years, but no longer, says Pierce. His reasons for this is that the party's destructive impact on our legal system and democracy, the rise of a Maori political hierarchy, has resulted in a shift towards a tyranny of the minorities, overshadowing other groups and only benefiting a few, says Harpham. Maori special interests have strategically manoeuvred themselves in legal structures and positions of authority, and this is something Harpham says is more reminiscent of a coup d'etat. The Labour Party caucus seems determined to further enable this takeover, despite the fact that many Maori individuals in opposition, such as Winston Peters and David Seymour, do not wish to see an erosion of traditional democracy. Labour's racist and tribal co-governance model must be ended in favour of the treaty obligations to provide one law for all. And you can see that post, but go to thecentrist.co.nz and you'll get Carl de Frisney's blog, and you can find that there under the Centrist, of course, has the it's under co-governance, I think, Labour, and that's where you'll find that link. But you'll find it on the front page, actually. That's where I'm reading it from. So that's very interesting. And also, don't forget to, we're looking at Operation People. We play some of their spots from time to time. Manufacturing Consent with Fake News. And that is a very good interview with a German centrist, she calls herself. She's a German media whistleblower, Katrin Sebold, and she describes how they create fake news, and she's been privy to it, and how the media manipulates narratives. In a discussion with Operation People, Chantel Baker, Sebold describes her 18-plus year career in mainstream media, highlighting instances where she and her colleagues were asked to deliberately spread fear to promote certain agendas. Obviously, not every piece of media content is manipulated and shaped, but it does happen, she says. Her personal experiences and insights into the creation of fake news and media manipulation underscores the importance of critical journalism. Transparency, accountability is also there amongst the media. And so she's very candid in that interview, and you can see that at thecentrist.co.nz, and they've got a link there to Operation People. And you'll see that that link at the Centrist is under Disinformation Mainstream Media. It's 29 minutes past 7. You're with Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. Let's have a listen to that song that rudely interrupted me before. It's Tegan Gaze. Liberty NZ Breakfast, and that is Tegan Gaze. And, we did it again. You'll have to stop that, Grant. 29 minutes to 8, and let's whip over again to thecentrist.co.nz. There's an interesting story here. I'm just having a look at New Zealand's Growing Underclass by Michael Bassett. And so historian Michael Bassett, he asked, which political party will face the issue of a rapidly ballooning underclass? Unemployment benefits weren't designed to be a permanent income for anyone except for the severely handicapped. In 1966, you wouldn't believe this, only 133 people in the country, in the whole country, received an unemployment benefit, and 5,000 people were on a sickness benefit. The Domestic Purposes Benefit, the DPB, came into effect in 1974. By the turn of the century, unemployment benefits were being paid to 154,000 people. So from 133 in 1966 to 154,000 people, sickness benefits to 33,000 people, and invalids benefits to more than 50,000 people. According to one estimate, about 20% of the New Zealanders of working age are now on social welfare benefits of some kind. The cost of this for the taxpayer is through the roof, but calls for yet more assistance are deafening. All sorts of additional social problems have followed the easy access to money. These include many more gangs, rampant ram raiding, lower achievement levels at every level of our education system. And so this is how Michael Bassett says it's the best to actually solve this problem. A domestic purposes benefit, the DPP, has to have strict limits, he says. And no pay increase for additional children. That stops that, doesn't it? Then when someone initially registered for the benefit, free contraceptives should be provided, and young people need to be provided discipline, education, and job training. It can be financed by the money saved from current lavish welfare top-ups. And that story you can see at thecentrist.co.nz. It's on the front page, and it's by Bassett, Brash, and Hyde. And that's another good website as well. I've quite enjoyed reading that, but that was even before I knew of the Centrist. But I'm glad I've got hold of the Centrist. We'll also have a look at NZ News Essentials as well. They've got some new stories that have just come out over the weekend, last night, and so we'll have a look at some of those as well. It is 27 minutes. Yep, 27 minutes to 8. Gosh, time flies when you're having fun. Let's play that one by... Actually, no, let's not play him, seeing as he rudely interrupted me before. Let's have a listen to this one. This is Parmalee. Take my hand. Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. Parmalee, Take My Name. It's 24 minutes to 8. Let's have a look at nznewsessentials.com. And they've got some brand new stories there. The government is making sure free speech doesn't get out of control, that's for sure. They say they're doing this for the public good. That is a very interesting one. I'll give you the brief on that. The government's pushing for more legislation to be able to control the online universe, and there is no telling how the government will actually apply the legislation, and it could vary considerably based on the people involved. The implied threat of censorship has been hanging over the government's detractors. Of course, any kind of emergency can justify tightening of the airwaves, and they certainly are. Of course, we also know that the government in New Zealand and the UK, and I think also Canada and Australia, they're pushing for implement legislation that can be used as a tool to manage and suppress content on social media platforms. And we know that Facebook have been very cooperative with the New Zealand government in removing content. And so that information too came out with Chantelle Baker. They did, I think Phil and her did an official information request, and they got that info there that they've actually got. I think it came out that wasn't there another, there was a company that the government had, but they definitely know that there's collusion between Facebook and the government, that's for sure. National talks tough on crime. In New Zealand, crime is up, but prison populations are down. The National Party wants to reverse the crime trend. Another story by NZNE. And the issues with politicised public servants, or politicised, I should say, ideologues in New Zealand, public service, make the service less controllable. That I'll just give you the brief on that one, and then you can go over to NZ News Essentials and have a look for yourself. This varies with rank, but public servants are not supposed to take political positions publicly as part of their work. Can thoroughbred ideologues really turn their true selves off during working hours? Highly partisan reports currently produced by government officials and appointees suggest that many are not able to be neutral. Can the Pandora's box of partisan public servants be closed? That is another good read at NZ News Essentials. And then it's also the story that we've had late last week about Kerry Allen, the Minister for Justice. And so there's a lot of media interest there. And the NZ News Essentials are wondering why such a fuss. So obviously she's had extensive coverage about bullying allegations against the Justice Minister. And the spotlight has also been on Kerry Allen taking a weekend of stress leave, and there's been no formal complaints made, so why not cut us some slack, according to this report? Wasn't Labour Speaker Trevor Mallard a lot worse in the bullying? Perhaps we will have a look at that. There's been a lot of media coverage on whether or not Justice Minister Kiritapu Allen's bullying at the Department of Conservation staffer who was seconded there over a year ago. According to the coverage, Allen screamed and yelled at the staffer, who was so distraught that the secondment ended early. These accusations were brought forward by DOC Director General Penny Nelson. Nelson said it was apparently so bad that she discussed the incident at the time with Internal Affairs. No formal complaint has been made against Minister Allen, and the Nelson statement said that no further concerns were subsequently brought to my attention, and I understand that the relationship have improved. It's hard to understand then why all the media coverage. If you work for the minister and you don't like their management style, you can leave. Alan has said in her, that her office is a highly stressed environment and there's a lot of pressure and big expectations. She uses the rugby analogy, like we run hard and like when we've got the ball. Alan has been juggling several portfolios, including justice, regional development, finance and transport. That's a lot, isn't it? And the public can judge her work as the minister. How nice is it to work for her, short of something both actionable and acted on, seems subjective, and dare we say it's too petty for the media focus. Alan has been off work for most of the week due to stress of mental health, and she's apparently broken up with her fiancé, Marnie Dunlop, over at RNZ. In May, she was questioned about contributions made to her campaign by former Race Relations Commissioner Ming Fong Foon, and remarked she made towards RNZ staff critical of her treatment of Maori reporters. The latter was in relation to Radio New Zealand's decision to overlook Alan's then fiance Dunlop for a top presenter spot with the broadcaster. Alan later apologised, and these legitimate matters are matters of public interest, are they? Yep, no, they are. They are, definitely are. That, the bullying rumour flouting about Alan seems to be far less grunty than those involving one of Labour Party members, the former Speaker Trevor Mallard. Mallard cost the taxpayer hundreds of thousands of dollars to settle with the parliamentary staffer who he accused of being a rapist. Ironically, the comments emerged from the Francis Review, tasking with investigating bully and harassment within Parliament. Mallard copped to knowing this, his rape allegations were soon wrong after making them, but dragged out the settlement process nonetheless. The payout didn't stop Mallard from invoking parliamentary privilege soon after the insisting that the man he'd wrongly accused of being a rapist was in fact guilty of sexual assault. Mallard was made ambassador designate to Ireland in 2023, this year. ACT's David Seymour calls the appointment to the post of ambassador an outrage and an insult to our friends in Ireland and an example of bad behaviour being rewarded. Former National leader Judith Collins said Mallard was the biggest bully she'd ever met in Parliament, and he didn't have the right temperament for it. Mallard received international attention in 2022 for his over-the-top treatment of anti-mandate protesters in Wellington. When he departed for Ireland, Newstalk ZB's John McDonald said that New Zealand is a better place without Mallard in it. Kerry Allen deserves a little break, according to this writer at NZ News Essentials. You can see that at nznewsessentials.com. Also, Hipkins and the World Economic Forum. That's worth having a look at as well. That's just come out. Let's go for that one. The media gave outsized coverage to the Prime Minister, Chris Hipkins, his short meet and greet with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing. That was on the 27th. China is New Zealand's main trading partner, so there's huge incentive for New Zealand to stay on China's good side. And the meeting obviously served China's interest, as New Zealand is practically the only Five Eyes country not actively criticising the Asian superpower. Was the photo op with the Chinese leader a lolly for Hipkins, aiding in China's diplomatic efforts to manage rising tensions in the West? Scant coverage of Hipkins' plans to attend the World Economic Forum's New Champion Summit. Hipkins' other meet and greet in China was with the World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab. Did you know that? Now, why didn't they? I never heard that on the radio or read that in the news, apart from here. He attended the World Economic's 14th annual New Champions meeting in Tianjin, and this was virtually ignored by the New Zealand media in the lead up and given only scant coverage when he attended. The media vacuum around the Prime Minister's participation in this event is ironic. Kiwis are browbeaten by the media and government, not to mention the World Economic Forum itself, about the dangers of disinformation, conspiracy theories, and the threat of political interference. Yet the paucity of coverage concerning the discussions resulted in fringe speculation mushrooming online. Topics related to the World Economic Forum were trending on Twitter, New Zealand's as a result. People have suspicions of the World Economic Forum and their hidden agenda. It seems that to be a nexus for global leaders that's the World Economic Forum, to meet and listen to high-minded and touchy-feely rhetoric about equity, diversity, inclusivity, and climate and social justice. Swab made the call to leverage the COVID pandemic to pitch the Great Reset, he said. The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and to reset our world, he says. This has driven suspicion about his agenda. With the eerie "you will own nothing and you'll be happy" catchphrase and the sci-fi tinged theories regarding the so-called fourth industrial revolution, the World Economic Forum continues to generate intrigue. In 2021, then Deputy Prime Minister Grant Robertson pulled out of a weekly interview on Magic Talk with Peter Williams a day after he was asked on air about the Great Reset and whether New Zealand would be a part of it. What exactly is his problem? Williams asked at the time, as Robertson himself has used the phrase reset to describe his government's position on the economy post-COVID in several instances. Williams and Robertson should stop using the word reset, as it's creating suspicion. New Zealand politicians show enthusiasm in participating and working with the World Economic Forum, but the media and the government downplay their involvement rather than discuss what influence, if any, the World Economic Forum has over their politics. And that story you'll find at NZ News Essentials, and there's some links there as well. And also they talk about policy on puberty blockers as well. I won't read that now because I've been talking for too long. Sorry about that. 14 to 8. And so, yeah, that's great, isn't it? NZ News Essentials and The Centrist. I think they're similar people are involved in that. They've got different roles. We'll have a look at the Newswire in a moment. But right now, let's have a listen to Luke Combs with, I think it's number 3 on the American Billboard Country Songs.
In 1979, a report to the President of the United States by the U.S. Commission on the Holocaust, chaired by Auschwitz survivor Elie Wiesel, warned, "The inclination to duplicate the Nazi option and once again exterminate millions of people remains a hideous threat. Those who declare that Holocaust analogies are off-limits are betraying the victims of the Holocaust by denying the relevance of the Holocaust.
From the White House in the office of the President of the United States, we present an address by Dwight D. Eisenhower.
In 1961, in his farewell address to the nation, President Dwight D. Eisenhower warned against the increasing domination of the military-industrial complex, whose total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, he said, is felt everywhere.
Akin to and largely responsible for the sweeping changes in our industrial-military posture has been the technological revolution during recent decades.
In this revolution, research has become central. It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly. A steadily increasing share is conducted for, by, or at the direction of the federal government. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded.
Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy itself could become the captive of a scientific technological elite. He didn't include there specifically the medical establishment and public health, but he recognized that it was this military technology that was pushing everything. It was pushing the economy and it was pushing the culture. And this is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany and what's happening now.
That's a Holocaust survivor. Her name is Vera Shirav. And I can't remember the name of that video that I took that from. But anyway, you can look her up, Vera Shirav. She's incredible. It's 7 minutes to 8. You're with Grant Edwards and the Liberty NZ Breakfast. Let's have a look at international news from Reuters. First of all, the Prigozhin Russian-controlled media group shuts amid mutiny. Yevgeny Prigozhin's media holding group is to shut down. The director of one of its outlets said earlier, highlighting the mercenaries' worsening fortunes this week, a week after a collapse of the brief mutiny staged by the Wagner Group fighters. Also in Cairo, Hannibal Gaddafi, that's the son of the late Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, he's been moved from a Lebanese prison to hospital in a critical condition, according to a Dubai-based TV, and that just happened. And also Baltimore, a mass shooting leaves two people dead and children among 28 injured. Two people were killed and 28 others were injured, including four children, in a mass shooting in Baltimore, Maryland. And that happened earlier today, according to police and hospital officials. Also, thousands of hotel workers in Los Angeles, California, went on strike earlier today. And that's in the US time, Sunday their time. That was in the morning. And they, as they push for better wages and benefits, and kicking off what was expected to be one of the largest US hotel strikes in recent history. And that's it for the headlines from Reuters. It's 4 minutes to eight. And who have I got for you? Oh, I've got Mickey here. Mickey, of course, Mickey Willis, M-I-K-K-I. He's the writer and director of The Great Reset. Have a listen to this.
Whatever political party you identify with, you are welcome here. Whatever color, culture, or creed you identify with, you are welcome here. If you are vaccinated or unvaccinated, you are welcome here. Now look around. Look around at these faces in this crowd. Take a good look around. This is America the Beautiful. And it's worth fighting for. You are worth fighting for. Your children are worth fighting for. Our freedom is worth fighting for. Freedom, freedom,
freedom. Who's to say that the boy would be happier your way or mine? Why not let him decide? No, I'm afraid it don't work that way. You can't let a young'un decide for himself. He'll grab at the first flashy thing with shiny ribbons on it. Then when he finds out there's a hook in it, it's too late. Wrong ideas come packaged with so much glitter, it's hard to convince him that other things might be better in the long run. And all a parent can do is say, wait, trust me, and try to keep temptation away.
Words of wisdom from Andy Griffith. It's 3 to 8 on the Liberty NZ Breakfast. Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. Austin from Blake Shelton. It's 8 o'clock. Let's have a look at the short forecast for all New Zealand. Valid until midnight tonight. For Northland to Kapiti, also for the Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. Showers more frequent in the west with heavy falls and thunderstorms possible there. Gale force southwesterly winds. For the Bay of Plenty, Gisborne to Wairarapa, also for Wellington, fine spells, a few showers, especially from the afternoon. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, a few showers, clearing most places later this afternoon and easing. Gale southwesterlies in exposed places. For Buller, Westland, south showers north of Ross with snow down to 800 metres, clearing this afternoon. In the south, cloud breaking to fine weather later in the morning. For Otago, Southland and Fiordland, frequent showers, some heavy, snow possible down to 600 metres and then lifting to 1,000 metres later in the day. Gale southwesterlies in exposed places. For the Chatham Islands, showers possibly heavy and thundery. It's 8:02. You're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant. Here's Mickey Willis. He is the writer and director of The Great Awakening. And this one, we're talking about collectivism. It's 8:02.
Yesterday, I asked ChatGPT, are there any similarities between today's woke revolution and Chairman Mao's cultural revolution of the 1960s? And it wrote back, how long do you have?
We recognize that government is absolutely necessary for an orderly society. But following the dictum that government, like fire, is both beneficial and dangerous, we believe in the concept of limited government. And we believe that the constitutional republic created by our founding fathers is the best form of limited government that has yet been devised by man. A republic is a limited democracy. It's a form of government based upon the principle of limited majority rule. Limited so that the minority, even a minority of one, can be protected against the whims and passions of the majority. Now, democracy is a form of government based upon the principle of majority rule. It's easy to understand, easy to sell to the masses, and I might add, deadly.
The fathers of philosophy, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, were all staunch critics of democracy. History's greatest minds all observed that even a well-intended democracy can breed deception, division, and ultimately total control by the state.
Aristotle wrote that democracy is not just the rule of the majority. Democracy is a system in which the majority is in charge, respecting the basic elementary rights and principles of minorities. If not, democracy becomes a tyranny of the majority.
Socrates himself became a victim of this very process. He was sentenced to death by a majority vote for protesting the rights and protections of the minority.
This country was founded on the principle that the individual is sovereign over the institution of government. And it's about a philosophy of governance that says that you're a free individual, or a philosophy of governance that says you're serf and you're subject.
We have inalienable rights just by virtue of being human. And so their primary responsibility as the government is to protect those rights.
These aren't rules to govern me, they're rules to govern the government. Like what, you know, what you are and are not allowed to do to me.
We are a constitutional republic with a representative democracy, so people do vote, but we have a separation of powers. So if you majority vote to eat you for lunch, the Supreme Court can say, no, you cannot.
And how do you protect the minority from the majority? You write down a set of rules on a piece of paper. You say, this we can do, that we cannot. At the top of the paper, you write the word Constitution. And then everyone agrees to follow the rules, no matter what the temptation. And when you're finished, you've created a constitutional republic.
It was Thomas Jefferson who said, "The republic is the only form of government which is not eternally at open or secret war with the rights of mankind."
Now, we hear a lot of talk today about right-wingers, left-wingers, extremists, and moderates. The political spectrum concept, if it has any meaning at all, is a measurement scale showing all the variations in government. Now, the extremists at the zero end would be those who advocate no government at all, the anarchists. The extremists at the other end would be those who advocate total government. And who are they? Well, the communists, of course. But also the Nazis, the fascists, no matter what they may call themselves, if they advocate total government control over the people, they are all, by definition, totalitarians. The debate is not between conservatives and liberals. It goes back in history long before those words were ever invented. The opposing points of view properly are identified as individualism versus collectivism. The individualist believes that the rights of the individual must not be obliterated by the desires of the collective or the group. The collectivist, on the other hand, believes that the group is more important than the single person within it, and that the individual must be sacrificed, if necessary, for the greater good of the greater number. The individualist believes that every man has a personal and direct responsibility to provide first for himself, next for his family, and then for those outside his family who may be in need. The collectivist, on the other hand, declares that the individual is not personally responsible for charity, for raising his own children, providing for his aging parents, or even providing for himself, for that matter. This is a group function of the state, of government itself.
Everything we talk about, socialism, communism, globalism, and Nazism, guess what? It's all collective society.
You're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. The Liberty NZ Breakfast, 11 minutes past 8. Ernest, and that's what they call themselves anyway, Flower Shop. Still to come, we've got Morgan Wallen, Kelsey Ballerini, and Starship. I thought I'd throw in a classic hit there just for a bit of good measure. Let's have a look at this day in history. On the 3rd of July, If you are having a birthday today, happy birthday to you. And in the year of our Lord, 324, the Battle of Adrianople, Roman Emperor Constantine the First, he defeats his co-emperor Licinius, and he flees to Byzantium. In 1187, the Battle of the Horns of Hattin. Saladin, he's the Muslim Sultan and Egyptian king of Syria and Egypt, he destroys the Jerusalem Crusader army. 1863, in the United States, the Battle of Gettysburg. It's the largest battle ever fought on the American continent, and it ends a major victory for the Union during the U.S. Civil War on this day, 1863. In 1884, Dow Jones publishes the first stock index, the Dow Jones Transportation Average. In 1996, on this day, the U.S. House of Commons announces the Stone of Scone, otherwise known as the Stone of Destiny, used in the coronation of Scottish and subsequently English and British monarchs, will be returned to Scotland after 700 years at Westminster Abbey. In film, 1928, John Logie Baird demonstrates the first colour television transmission. And in sport, in 1986, Wimbledon men's tennis, Sweden's Björn Borg, he beats Eli Natasi of Romania, 6-4, 6-2, 9-7, for the first of five straight Wimbledon titles. And we might go into a wee bit more detail on this day in history, but let's just keep it short for the time being. Also, in music today, in 2018, Cardi B, those of you who like rap music will know who she is. She becomes the first female rapper, US Billboard hits, or two number one US Billboard hits, and it's called I Like It, and she does that with Bad Bunny. How's that for a name? Bad Bunny, he's a rapper from Puerto Rico, and his name is Benito Antonio Matez Ocasio. I think I'd go with that one. He's got a ring in his nose as well, which my pig has also a ring in his nose, a ring, and it does seem to stop him. We won't say what it stops them for. Do you know what rings are for? You probably don't. Anyway, if you're not farming, if you don't know much about farms, you wouldn't know what they're for. But let's have a listen to Cardi B and see what it sounds like. I'll just have to put my earplugs in now. Here we go. It's 14 minutes past. This is the sound when you're sitting there having a coffee or a tea or something, and there's that boom, boom going past. You hear that boom before you hear anything. Yeah, well, that's enough of that. 8:15 with Grant Edwards on the Liberty NZ Breakfast. And, of course, she becomes the first female rapper to get two number one US Billboard hits with I Like It. And that's what it was. I couldn't bear it. Just drove me nuts, absolute nuts. Should we have a little look and see what else has been happening? The Intergovernmental Conference of Identity Certificates for Russian Refugees, that convened by Fujijo Nansen in Geneva and created the Nansen Passport, and that was way back that was for stateless people in 1922. Also, Louis XI in 1423, he was born on this day. Samuel de Chapelard, he's an interesting fellow. He was born in 1570. What was it now? When were you born, mister? You were born in 1567 on this day. And so you're the founder of the new French in Quebec City. You made the first accurate map of Canada, the Canadian coast, and you helped establish numerous settlements. So that's him. He was born on this day. He's an explorer, very famous he is. And George M. Cohen, I think he's a composer, isn't he? Yes, he's also an actor and a singer. He was born to a Vaudeville family, and George M. Cohen became an industry unto himself, starting as a child and touring with the four Coens, they called themselves. That was his parents, his sister. He began selling songs as a teenager, and he went on to write and compose songs and produced singing and dancing more than three dozen Broadway musicals as well. He published more than 300 songs during his lifetime, including The Standards, You're a Grand Old Flag, that's another one, and Yankee Doodle Boy, Over There, and Give My Regards to Broadway. He was subject to a 1942, he was the subject of a 1942 film, The Yankee Doodle Dandy, for which James Cagney won an Academy Award in the 1968 Broadway musical George M., starring Joey Gray. Born on this day in Providence, Rhode Island, USA. That is our man, is George M. Cohen. And Franz Kafka, he's born in 1883. He was a writer. He wrote about three biographies, born in Prague, so a famous writer who's born on this day. Also, Jean-Claude Duvalier, he is born in 1951. He was the dictator and president of Haiti. He was known as Baby Doc, who followed his father, François Duvalier, aka otherwise known as Papa Doc, in his brutal footsteps. And he ruled as president from 1971, declaring himself president for life until his overthrow by a popular uprising in 1986, causing him to flee to France. He maintained a notorious lavish lifestyle and made millions from involvement in the drug trade, even to go so far as to sell body parts from dead Haitians, while poverty among his people remained the most widespread of any country in the Western Hemisphere. Born on this day, 1951, and he died of a heart attack, age 63, in October 2014. That is that nasty piece of work. I don't know where he'll end up. Don't think it'll be very good. Heaven or hell for you? I don't know. I think it'll be the latter. And WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, he's having a birthday, still alive and kicking, but boy, he's been through the mill. He's 52 years old today, so you're sharing a birthday with him. He's, of course, the co-editor-in-chief of the controversial whistleblowing website. And not much, really, they haven't really said much about him. Born on this day in Townsville, Queensland, 53-year-old. But we've got a few little items here. I think that started off in 2006 is when he launched the website. Then in 2012, he was granted political asylum by Ecuador. And then in 2012 again, there was found to be, remember they took him to court and they were trying to pin something on him, something about the Swedish forensic scientists, they had no conclusive evidence that he was, that the DNA, his DNA was found on some, you know, sex item or something. Anyway, and then the Swedish prosecutors in 2015, they said that they're dropping allegations against him for sexual molestation and coercion. That was good because it was all the jack up anyway. In 2019, he was forcibly removed from the Ecuadorian embassy in London by the police and arrested on a failure to appear in court on US extradition charges. Then in 2019, in the next month in May, he was sentenced to 50 weeks in jail, just under a year, for bail, breaching his bail conditions. And that's all it says about him. You know, there's a lot more detail. Who writes this stuff? Really, there's a lot more great stuff that he's done. And he's a hero, really, in my opinion. That is Julian Assange, born on this day in 71. He's only young, I should say. Yep, we're getting confused with the other guy. Tom Stoppard, he's 86 today. Now, who the heck is he? Well, he's a playwright and a screenwriter, and he rose to fame with his early play Rosencrantz. He also was a noted screenwriter, and he won an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay for Shakespeare in Love in 1998. Well, I do remember that, and that starred Gwyneth Paltrow and Joseph Fiennes. His other screenplays include Brazil in 85 and Billy Bathgate in 1991. He's born on this day in Czechoslovakia. He is 86 today. Richard Hadley, of course, is having a 72nd birthday today. Regardless, he's regarded as one of the greatest fast bowlers and all-rounders in cricket history. He was born in Christchurch, and it doesn't say much about him, but let's have a look and see. The test debut was back in 1973 in February, and he was drawn first in the test with Pakistan. And in 76, he takes 7 wickets, I think, to 23. Is that how you say it in cricket? I'm not familiar with it. That was New Zealand versus India, and that was his first match-winning spell. In 1980, he becomes New Zealand's top wicket taker with 117. In 1982 again, also, he is captain with the Captain Howarth, 147, and Richard Hadley has a 103. They hold off West Indies pace quartet of Roberts Garner, holding the Croft during the famous second test draw in Christchurch. Oh, gosh. In 1985, he takes a 9.52 New Zealand to 9-52, I guess that's how you say it, New Zealand to Australia at the Gabba. And in 1985, he takes 123 for cricket match New Zealand versus Australia at Brisbane. Richard Hadley makes the highest test cricket score of 151 versus Sri Lanka. And 1990, he takes his 400th test wicket from Sanjay Manekra. And a New Zealand cricket legend, Hadley, he takes a 5-53 in the third test in England at Edgbaston to end the test career with 143. That was in 1990 in September when he took 143 wickets. But there was someone else, I think it was Kapil Dev. He takes 202-41 as India beat Sri Lanka by an innings of 95 runs in the second cricket test with Bengaluru, and that equals Sir Richard Hadley's world record of 431. So there you are, Richard Hadley. Yeah, well, I struggled through that. I'm sorry about that. Tom Cruise is 61 today. Of course, he's an actor. He started his career at age 19 with the film Endless Love in 1981 and became a full-fledged movie star after starring as Pete Maverick Mitchell in Top Gun. He's well known for his roles as the secret agent Ethan Hunt in the Mission Impossible film series, and he's also known for his support of the cult, the Church of Scientology, and its affiliated social programs. And that, born on this day, 1962, the 3rd of July, that is Tom Cruise. Audra McDonald, she's 53 today. She's an actress and a singer. She's best known for her work on the stage, such as Ragtime, A Raisins in the Sun, and Porgy and Bess. And she's won 6 Tony Awards and is the only person to have a Tony in each of the 4 acting categories. Born today, on this day in 1970 in West Berlin, Germany. I didn't know that. Sebastian Vettel, he's of course a Formula One motor racing driver. He's a 4-time World Formula One champion, having won the championship in 2010, 11, 12 and 13 with the Red Bull Racing team. He's born in West Germany, 3rd of July, 1987. That is Sebastian Vettel. And that's about it. Yep. Oh, there were some silly things here. You wouldn't believe this. A common tern, that's a bird. It was banned in Maine. It was found dead in 1919 in Africa. The first bird known to have crossed the Atlantic in 1913. That's very useful information, isn't it? It's 8:25. And that was the most boring read I've ever had. And made a hash of it. Sorry about that, blokes. Awfully sorry. Let's have a listen to Starship, and that might cheer me up a bit. What really incenses me is that our government is still spending our taxpayer money on COVID booster shots and COVID vaccines, so-called fake vaccines is what they are, because they don't work, and they're still pushing them. And it's just disgraceful how this has happened, because on the 5th of May this year, the World Health Organization, they ended the global emergency status of COVID-19, which had been reigning for 3 years after the original declaration. In the US, they followed suit just a week later. But the state of emergency here in New Zealand and many other countries continues, as do the vaccines, so-called fake vaccines, in my opinion, and in many other opinions as well. Yet in April, due to the relatively high risk to low and low expected benefits, the WHO urged countries to give low priority to COVID vaccines for healthy children and teenagers. Denmark, Sweden and Norway stopped recommending the vaccines for children and healthy adults in 2022 last year. And in Switzerland, the global headquarters for many pharmaceutical companies, they no longer recommend COVID vaccinations for anyone. The impacts of the national response to the declared global emergency will be felt for a lifetime. It certainly will. And there are now many lawsuits and government investigations underway around the world into the draconian COVID vaccine mandates. A class action lawsuit was filed in the UK in March in 2023 this year against AstraZeneca vaccine. The vaccine has been withdrawn from many countries for its poor risk-benefit ratio. On the 26th of April this year, a group of over 500 Australians filed a class action lawsuit against the federal government, claiming severe injuries caused by the COVID vaccines and that the government misused its authority and was negligent in promoting and mandating them. In Australia, as of April, there have been 986 deaths and over 138,000 adverse events formally reported following COVID vaccination. This compares with 28 deaths and 3,924 adverse events for the entire history of the flu vaccine, which started in 1972. Get that right. Understand that. 986 deaths. Those are the official deaths. Very small portion of them, maybe 1 to 3% are actually, they go reported. The rest go unreported. So it's phenomenal. It's a death. It's a carnage. It is a genocide. And so the data is similar all over the world. and regulators say such reports are a small fraction of the actual number of incidents, since the vast majority go unreported, which is what I just said before. New Zealand reported 184 deaths and over 64,000 adverse events before MedSafe stopped reporting them in November 2022. Of course, Linda Wharton and the Health Forum New Zealand, they reported hundreds of deaths, almost 1,000 deaths was the last time I looked, and hundreds of thousands of adverse events. And as I said, a very small portion of them actually go reported, the rest go unreported. But we know that it's a real thing because the insurance companies, who know exactly what's going on, they see the all-cause mortality rate is at 40% in the Western worlds that have pushed these draconian gene therapy products on us, this mRNA experimental biological agent that they've pushed on us. And all these people need to be held accountable. In the US, as of September 2022, there have been over 1,000 lawsuits filed. That's 1,000. Think of that. 1,000 lawsuits filed against vaccine mandates. And there are now also several US state investigations underway. On the 1st of May, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton launched an investigation into Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson for misrepresenting the efficacy and safety of their vaccines and for manipulating vaccine trial data. This follows another launched by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's going for the American presidency. That was back in September 2022. And these investigations are expected to probe the evidence for and against the decisions made around the COVID vaccines and the mandates. And they are in sharp contrast to New Zealand's Royal Inquiry, which seemed designed to applaud these measures. That story, that great story that was distilled, is put out by nznewsessentials.com. Hop over there and support them, will you? They're great. Some of the headlines, they've got government, opposition, economy, society, health, tinihanga, overseas and other at NZ News Essentials. Well worth having a look at. It's a great magazine. Liberty NZ Breakfast. It's 14 to 9, and that's Ashley Munro with Drive. And before that, we had Priscilla Block with My Bar and Parker McCollum, Handle on You. Let's have a look and see what's happening as far as the windy weather that's happening here in the country, right across the whole country. Actually, it's going to be windy right up until at least 9 o'clock tonight. Aucklanders are being warned the Harbour Bridge could possibly close today, with strong winds set to lash the city. And it comes as MetSafe say that a cold, strong southwesterly flow affects New Zealand. Several troughs embedded in this flow could bring possibly heavy rain to the southern South Island today, and strong west-to-west southwesterly winds expected to affect many areas, according to Met Service. New Zealand Transport said that a red alert level has been issued for the Harbour Bridge, that's the Auckland Harbour Bridge, today. The amber alert level was in place from 4 a.m. this morning until 7 a.m, with wind gusts of 75 to 80 kilometres forecast today, and that's for most of the morning. Under an amber alert, speeds are reduced and some lanes on the bridge may be closed, according to NZTA. The red alert is in place from midday today until 9 p.m. tonight, with wind gusts expected to be around 90 to 100 kilometres per hour from 12 to 9, and possible gusts of 100 to 110 kilometres per hour. Under a red alert, all lanes on the bridge are closed. The NZTA said the bridge is operating with four lanes in each direction due to the predicted strong winds. And so, yep, a windy day indeed. And so I think that'll just head its way all the way up the country. And I would say that Northland and the far north will probably get a bit of a lashing as well later on this afternoon after Auckland had theirs. In fact, there might even be pretty windy overnight and tomorrow morning as well for the far north. Let's have a listen to Lee Bryce, shall we? It's 13 minutes to 9. You're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. Liberty NZ Breakfast.
Technology and modernism.
Hang on there. That's Vera. Just a minute, love. I haven't quite finished. This is the Liberty NZ Breakfast with me, Grant Edwards. I hope you've enjoyed yourself this morning from 6 o'clock. We're here every morning from 6 till 9. It's 5 to 9, and here's Vera Sharav. You can start now. Over to you, darling.
Technology and modernism and convenience have become the end-all and be-all. They are what's valued. And you really, really have denigrated the idea of what's human, humanitarian, human values, right and wrong. Everything becomes relative.
As a result, few people recognize foreboding similarities between current policies and those under the Nazi regime. By declaring a state of emergency in 1933 and 2020, personal freedom, legal rights, and civil rights were swept aside. Repressive, discriminatory decrees followed. In 1933, the primary target of discrimination were Jews. Today, the target is people who refuse to be injected with experimental, genetically engineered so-called vaccines.
Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards, Aerosmith and Angel. Of course, that was Vera Sharav. She is a Holocaust survivor, and she spoke about the health and how they used health during the Nazi period and how they're doing it again. They did it for the last 3 years, didn't they? These laws, they were pretty similar what they did in Nazi Germany before the Second World War, and what happened just in the last 3 years, they mirror it. 2 minutes past nine, that's it for me. I'll see you tomorrow, tomorrow morning, 6 till 9. I'm here from weekdays, 6 till 9 o'clock, but the weekends give me a bit of a time off, won't you? I've got John Voigt. He is going to be speaking about how leftism ruined Hollywood, but right now let's have a look at the forecast, shall we? The highest temperatures at the moment, let's look at the extremes for Auckland in the Waitakere's. You've got 13.3 degrees at the moment. The lowest, of course, is Twisel, minus 2.3. And Nugent Point, 59 kilometres. It's dropped a little bit from 67, which it was earlier this morning. Nugent Point is the windiest in the country. Dunedin, you're the wettest at 3.4 millimetres of rain. Let's have a look at that short forecast from Northland to Kapiti, also for the Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. Showers more frequent in the west, with heavy falls and thunderstorms possible there. Gale force west to west southwesterlies, and for the Bay of Plenty, Gisborne and Wairarapa, also for Wellington, fine spells, a few showers, especially from the afternoon. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, a few showers clearing from most places later this afternoon and easing. Gale force southwesterlies in exposed places. For Buller, Westland, showers north of Ross with snow about 800 metres clearing this afternoon. In the south, cloud breaking through to fine weather later in the morning. For Otago, Southland and Fiordland, frequent showers, some heavy, possible snow down to 800 metres and then lifting to about 1,000 metres later in the day. Gale force southwesterlies in exposed places as well. For the Chatham Islands, showers possibly heavy and thundery for you. And let's look ahead to Tuesday. For tomorrow, the North Island expect isolated showers in the west, mostly fine elsewhere. In the South Island, showers in the south, a few showers in the west, north of Hokitika, mainly fine though for you. And for Wednesday, for the North Island, showers isolated in the west, mainly fine elsewhere. South Island, showers in the south and west, easing, mostly fine for you as well. And Thursday and Friday, mostly fine at first on Friday, periods of rain or showers developing in the west and north areas with cloud increasing. And it's the same for the north and the South Island. Chatham Islands, you've got occasional showers, heavy rain and clearing on Friday. Gale westerlies or two southwesterly winds easing on Friday. So that looks good. 4 minutes past. We'll see you tomorrow morning, and I'll leave you with John Voigt about the leftism and how they've ruined Hollywood.
Hollywood has been propagandized. And it's an interesting thing about the left, you know? One would think that you could look around the world in the recent history of the world, and you would see every time socialism or communism, Marxism, takes root in a country, the country is destroyed in some way. Look at what is happening in North Korea. Look what's happened in Poland when Russia took over. Look what happened in Cuba. Look what's happened in Venezuela. And one would think that they could add it up and say, let's not let it happen here. All these wonderful heroes of mine when I was a kid, all of the great stars of that time, Clark Gable and the Tyrone Power and Jimmy Stewart, all these guys were in the service. And they did dangerous jobs too. But they all served, and they were all very patriotic people. And then it came to the 60s. and it seemed to fall apart in the 60s. That time is when this kind of leftism struck and this anti-American feeling was inserted into our society using the Vietnam War. Well, I had a big hit at the end of the 60s, and so I became part of this group of people, these young lions that were coming forth, you see, that were all negative about our country, speaking out about the war. The end of the war was marked by the murder of 2.5 million people in Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. And the left, the people who were out there, the signs of them, just walked away and took this moment as a victory. And I saw all of this carnage and that communism and the communist hordes that created all of that violence were given a pass by this group. So I went through a lot of things. Even that didn't pull me completely to the right, but I saw a lot of things at that moment, and gradually over the next years, and with the influence of many good people, I came to understand certain things. And the poison that I had seen happen, and that happened actually to me, this idea of propaganda is real. And it gets to you. Now, we live at a time now where the media is pouring propaganda into people's homes. Slanders and lies are being accepted as truths.
Donald Trump has been a Russian intelligence asset since 1987.
We are at war with Russia. The nation and all of our freedoms hang by a thread.
It's illegal to possess these stolen documents. It's different for the media. So everything you learn about this, you're learning from us.
And all the stuff that's going on further in our universities and in our schools that's damaging our children. And this is backed by most of Hollywood. If you're a conservative in Hollywood, you're on the outside. And you don't have an easy chance for a career. You know, people can hire who they want. This is a free country, still. So it's their business. You know, they want to work with certain people and not work with other people. It's okay with me. But, of course, there is this kind of bias, and it is reflective of the blacklist that they make such a big deal about. It's just as clear a bias as that time. You know, when Lenin came to office, in the first 4 years of his reign as the head of the Soviet Union, 4 million people were starved to death. 10 years later, under Stalin, another 6 million, at least, were starved to death. They don't know how to govern. They're just no good. You look at what's happening with Joe Biden today. He's destroying our economy. We're looking into inflation. Gas prices are going up. They're not good at it. The only thing they're good at is being destructive, as they showed themselves to be during President Trump's 4 years. All they did was try to destroy this country and bring down a sitting president. And now you have big tech participating in it. Can you imagine that this cancel culture, they cancel out the president of the United States? What? I mean, it's very, very serious. It's a battle for the truth. But thank God for our founding principles and our founding documents, and especially the Constitution. Even though it's been eroded and attacked, still enough of it has kept us alive. And I believe that we're going to prevail. That's what I believe. I believe all these wonderful people that have stepped up and can explain things to the American people. And once a person gets connected to the truth of things, they don't leave it. The truth is God's truth. Truth is God. Good is God. And we're fighting lies. Well, that's what's great about what this channel does, you know, what Ben Shapiro has done, what Candace Owens has done, you know. They have alerted people, awakened them. So we have a little battle on our hands, and we're not going to give up.
Who's to say that the boy would be happier your way or mine?
Why not let him decide?
No, I'm afraid it don't work that way. You can't let a young'un decide for himself. He'll grab it the first flashy thing with shiny ribbons on it. Then when he finds out there's a hook in it, it's too late. Wrong ideas come packaged with so much glitter, it's hard to convince them that other things might be better in the long run. And all a parent can do is say, wait, trust me, and try to keep temptation away.
What country is this?
You're listening to Country Reflections.
This is The Wireless, today's best country.